from stpetecatalyst.com.
Bill DeYoung here. It's St. Pete Catalyst and the Catalyst Sessions for Monday, whatever date this is. I lost track a long time ago. Please say hello to Mr. Robin Zander, resident of Pinellas County, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and the lead singer of the wonderful and amazing Cheap Trick, and such an honor to have you here, sir.
Thank you.
Somebody told me today that Dream Police is 41 years old today.
That's correct. Our band is 47 years long, and it's 47 years of musical bliss.
Of musical bliss. Then, well, I'm doing a little research because I can't help myself, and I read on Wikipedia, so you know that it's true, that Dream Police is actually the most successful Cheap Trick record. Apparently, it sold more than Budokan over here.
As far as album sales are concerned, that could be correct.
Yeah.
During that period of time is when, you know, Budokan came out before Dream Police did.
It was recorded before Budokan, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was recorded before Budokan. Budokan came out, and that was our first real successful album.
Yeah.
So the follow-up to it was anticipated, and I think that's probably why it sold more.
Yeah, it has Way of the World on it. I think there's some great tunes on that record.
Oh, thank you.
I remember I'm going back now. I was working at a record store here back in those days in Pinellas Park, and we were all huge fans, was that Gonna Raise Hell is on, I think it's on Budokan, and that was like a new song. And then Dream Police came out and said, wait, here's a 9-minute version of the same song.
That's right. It was recorded before we did it live at Budokan.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes that's the way things go when you think about it.
Yeah.
Look, you know, our first album that was written in 76. And for that album, we had written I Want You to Want Me, Surrender, and Dream Police for that album.
Wow.
And it got denied.
Yeah. Well, what's the process there? Because I used to hear things. I've heard things from other artists who said, yeah, we had all these, we demoed them and the producer, whatever. It would have been Jack Douglas, I guess, on the first record, said, no, yeah, I don't like those.
Yeah.
Hold them back.
Well, it wasn't necessarily just Jack Douglas, but, you know, there's other entities involved, like the record company, you know, the president, the A&R guy. Everybody sort of puts their genius heads together and tries to get the best out of us, and usually ends up being the worst of us, but, you know, there you go.
Hey, one more nerd record question, and then we'll move on a little bit. You know, I've always loved In Color. I've always loved the Tom Werman production, but as I understand it, historically, that was the second version of In Color. Was it Steve Albini who did it the first time?
The Steve Albini version was the second version, because we weren't happy with the first version.
You did it with Werman first.
Yes, but we did work this. It sort of surrounded the song I Want You to Want Me, because we had a live version of it that had more of a skiffle version, kind of meets the Yardbirds vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And we thought Tom Werman completely missed the mark on that. So, so we decided to do a whole record over again. But that never came out either, so, you know, spent a lot of money.
There are a lot of diehard fans out there who have heard the Albini version and say, man, that's the definitive one. For me, In Color is the record to be. And
I think material-wise, and it was a place in time for us, you know, and we were excited.
We spoke at the beginning of April is when we did a phone interview, and what I remember, Robin, is that cabin fever was starting to set in for you, you know.
Yeah.
April. Let me remind you, April, okay? Yeah. How you doing now?
It's not so bad for me. You know, I got a chance to meet my kids and my wife after being married for 27 years. you know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah.
You know, I got to hang out and get to know them a little better, and that was a lot of fulfillment for me. But remember when I talked to you last, I'd just gotten back from Germany with my wife. We'd been over there with Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
And I came home on the 12th of March, which was the very day that they closed the airport.
you might still be in Germany.
Under the gun, you know.
You might still be over there.
Yeah.
You left a day later.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things you said was, well, you know, your son and daughter are both home, and we're jamming in the afternoon, and I think you kind of went, it's getting a little old. And
yeah.
I was that was April.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I get antsy because, you know, that's all I've done all my life. And, you know, I talked to the other guys and they're feeling the same way. You know, we had the tour all set up for the summer and it got blown away until next year. And, you know, we were going to be out with ZZ Top for a few months. And then we were going to go out with Rod Stewart for a few months. And, and then in between, there's a lot of dates of our own that we were going to fulfill in the world and go to Japan. We had all these plans, you know, but, I don't want to complain because I know everybody's going through the same damn thing, but, that's just the way it happens.
Well, as you say, the band's been off the road for at least, 6 months, about, and I wondered if you were going through some kind of withdrawal, because we did talk about this before, that after 47 years playing somewhere pretty much every night of your life, this is like, you know, in addition to everything else, it's muscle memory. That's just not, I mean, there must be a part of you that's saying, where am I? What am I doing?
Oh, every day you wake up feeling that way. I do anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you say, it's muscle and mind memory kind of thing where you get up and you're not used to being in your own bed every single day for 6 months in a row. You know, it's just too unusual.
Welcome to the lives of the rest of us, my friend.
Yeah, you know, well, there you go. Yeah. And even though I'm in the lives of the rest of you all, you all are in a different space too. So,
I haven't been in every hotel in the world in my life, you know. Just, I pretty much knew early on that wasn't going to be in the cards for me. I wondered, these are the intelligent questions I wrote down. We'll get to the straight off the top of my head ones later. After more than four decades defined, you know, by others, I guess, as the lead singer of Cheap Trick, that is what you do. That is your job. You know, how do you, over all these years, how do you keep away complacency or ennui or like, oh God, another 17 gigs in a row. How do you approach it fresh all the time? Or can you? Or are you damn sick of it and you're going to tell us now?
Well, I'm not sick of it. No, that's what my whole life has been dedicated towards.
That's what I mean. That's your identity. Yeah.
I'm not sick of it. Yeah. It's just become harder. Mm. And I guess I have to prepare longer and in that it's kind of a pain in the ass, but if I'm going to continue doing it at my age, I have to be as good as I possibly can be.
Sure.
Pete out there with this, you know, people are buying tickets to come and see us and I better damn well show them what I got, you know?
Is it hard to compete with, you know, your 25-year-old self? I mean, do you feel that profoundly going out there, man? I mean, obviously you can do it, but as you say, you got to prepare longer. People expect you to be the guy on the cover of Heaven Tonight.
Exactly. I have a mirror next to me now all the time, which in my son, Robin, who is also a Cheap Trick now for the last couple years. So I must say that I tend to lean on him quite often, you know, and he's so talented that he keeps me on my toes.
Did you say that Robin Taylor is in Cheap Trick now?
He is. He's been here now for 3 years.
Elaborate for me. I mean, I don't know.
Well, it started when our drummer Dax.
Yeah.
We were in South America, actually. Mm-hmm. And he had to go home in the middle of the tour because his wife was having a baby. Mm-hmm. So I decided to have my son fill in for him because my son plays the drums also. Uh-huh. So we filled in for him for, I don't know, about a week or so. And in the meantime, then Rick got sick, real sick, with the flu, really bad. So he was in there. We were in Arizona. He stayed there for, I don't know how long it was, maybe a few weeks or so. And Robin filled in for Rick.
Wow.
That's the long story short.
If he's a bass player, he could fill in for Tommy too, right? So
he could, yeah. But, you know, so we figured, yeah, utility guy, how about you? You know, he plays keyboards and stuff. So if we ever needed somebody to play violins during the Flame or Voices or something, you know, we could throw him over there to play keyboard. So that's sort of how it started. And now he's sort of a permanent road guy.
Well, how cool is that?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and so Dax is in the band, and Robin's there, and it went right out of my head. Oh, God, it was brilliant, too. Well, when you say, you know, it's harder now, you have to prepare. I mean, it's very physical work, too, isn't it? I mean, you have to keep in shape. And
yeah, it keeps you in shape, though, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're out on the road every night, and you're going through – a set basically 5 nights a week for 9-10 months out of the year, it keeps you in shape. So you really don't have to go to the gym every morning and work out for 2 hours, that sort of thing, which I couldn't do anyway because it's not in me to do that. But you know, but yeah, I try to eat right. My wife makes sure of that, and you know, it's a clean living and perseverance, I guess.
Does Florida have anything to do with it? The sunshine? I mean, yeah. I remember you said, hey, there's a great spot at Safety Harbor, man. That's important.
Yeah, it is important. I've always loved it here. I've been living here for 27 years, and, you know, I enjoy it here.
Let me ask you,
it doesn't really matter where I live anyway, you know, because
it's who you live with,
it's important, correct?
And it's different from the old days, certainly when, you know, you – Was the organization based in LA or something, or was it always just like Rockford?
It was Rockford.
But
like I said, you know, we started our band in 74.
Yeah.
And 73, 74, right around in there.
Yeah.
And even though we lived in Rockford, we were rarely home. We were always on the road, you know, so, you know, it was like the band without a home.
But you still have the organization.
Yeah.
The company.
The company was actually based out of Madison, Wisconsin then.
Wow, okay.
Beginning.
Eau Claire was one of my favorite song titles, by the way, because I was about 18, and it took me a while to figure it out. But anyway. but the company, you know, that's something I wanted to ask you about. In the times of COVID, in the era in which we live now, I mean, you have a crew. You've got people who depend on what you do. So it's not just, you know, the musicians, you know, we're the band, we're famous, we do this, we do that, we entertain people, make people happy. There's a whole back line of people who are also not working right now. That's got to weigh on you.
That weighs heavily on, you know, we're not only a rock band, but we're an organization that hires people, and it's a business just like any other business.
Your business, that's what I mean,
So we employ about 20 people. Mm-hmm. Those 20 people rely on us for a paycheck and healthcare and blah, 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 blah. Right. So we had to go to the government and have them help us out. And they did. But
they did.
As you know, that's only the first splash of, you know, help, and the second one doesn't look like it's coming anytime soon. So, you know, we're gonna try and start up again in January. We have some plans. I'm actually gonna do a couple shows. We call them clean shows, where there's only like two or three people standing on their heads 6 feet away.
That's what you're doing this weekend, isn't it? I think that's what we're going to talk
about.
That's right. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I'll be there standing on my head. they sold out. All three of these shows sold out. I mean, I don't know if there's, you know, 12 people in the audience or how it works
exactly. Yeah, it's not much. You know, but so what? You know, it's worth it to me because I get to go out and play. In fact, we're doing three sets, and each set each night is going to be totally different because there's cool. So many songs to choose from.
Yeah.
You know, so we decided, my son and I decided we were going to do, you know, a different set each night. So that it's about 21 songs for each set. Wow. And so if I can remember the lyrics, I'll be a cool.
I mean, ostensibly we were doing this to plug those shows, but I mean, fucking man, I mean, they all sold out. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We're not going to sell any tickets here today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Is you just mentioned this though. Is this important to you? I got to play. I can't stand it. I got to get up and sing. Is that part of the flexing the muscles that we were talking
about? It is. You've got to, because it is a muscle. That's the key word.
Yeah.
You've got to sing, and otherwise you're going to lose it, you know, physically. It won't, you know, I doubt it would come back even if you've completely lost your voice. So, you know, I've got to warm up every day, whether I'm singing or not.
Oh, yeah.
A couple weeks before the show.
In my memory, around 78, 79, in that era, Cheap Trick was the loudest band I'd ever heard. And every time you'd come through here, I used to go to all the shows, you know. Is that my imagination? Or or was that a secret thing that everything was always cranked up to 11? I always wanted to ask you this.
That's how I lost my hearing.
Oh.
No, it was the loudest band I ever saw. Is my brothers took me to St. Louis from Rockford, Illinois, and drove me to see Deep Purple.
Wow.
And the opening act was – and they were – at the time, Deep Purple was lauded as the loudest band in the world.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But they weren't. Slade opened the show. They were louder, believe it or not.
Oh, man. I just remember, you know, I would see you guys in like the High Life Fronton, you know, and then.
Oh, yeah. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. Man. And then it would be, you know, the Tangerine Bowl in Orlando after yeah. Budokan and Dream Police and everything, but it was still loud as hell.
Yeah. You know? I remember I got arrested that night.
What for?
Disorderly conduct.
Cool. There's a badge of honor.
No, a roadie's got in a fight in the hallway and I walked out and tried to break it up and the cops showed up and arrested me right along with them.
Oh man. Just another long hair troublemaker.
Must be. I don't know.
So Tom Warman again produced Dream Police. And I don't know if you ever talked to Billings about Tom Warman, Greg Billings, because that the famous Stranger album on Epic, Warman produced that. And Greg hates that record. You should,
yeah.
It'd be, and mostly because of Warman.
Tell him to go ahead and re-record it.
Yeah. I think he's
going to work for us, right?
I think he's going to. Okay, so again, doing a little historical archaeology here. The next record is All Shook Up, which I want to ask you about. But before that, I think you did some sessions, maybe just demo stuff with Jack Douglas again.
Yeah,
this was 1980.
Yeah,
I heard it on YouTube recently. Everything you haven't put out is bootleg somewhere, I guess.
Well, that Jack had asked us to do stuff with Lennon for his record.
Yeah.
And that's how that came about. As long as we are going to be in the studio with Jack again, we thought we'd record a few more songs. But I just don't think the intention was actually to do a whole record with him.
Oh, okay. Well, how did the George Martin thing happen?
That happened.
It seemed logical at the time, but.
It happened. Because of Jeff Emmerich and Jack Douglas getting together and talking about Cheap Trick, George reading in the press about Cheap Trick and listening to our earlier records, being the Beatles of the US, you know, kind of thing, which was silly anyway. But I think it was just kind of like that, you know, heard rumors about us and thought, I'll give these guys a listen. When he listened to us, he liked it. Plus, throw in the fact that Lennon did all of Yoko and John's music in the past.
Yeah.
And it just came together. He gave us a phone call, and we said, yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Did you cut that in Montserrat, down his place?
Yeah, we went to the West Indies and recorded that right in the same studio the Police did their first record at.
Yeah. The place was destroyed in a hurricane a couple of years
ago. Oh, my God. It plus the earthquakes before that. I mean,
I've seen the pictures with the vines growing in the control room, and it's just
that was the hurricane, but they had earthquakes too that devastated half the island.
Wow.
I mean, that destroyed Air Studios too, where we recorded. But it was a great experience. I mean, really, George was wonderful. He was just a genius.
When you look back on it, I mean, I'm kind of a record geek, like so many of us. And when you look back on all the records that Cheap Trick's made, I mean, it's interesting for me to ask an artist this sort of question. Is it sort of like, well, there's some great ones in there that nobody heard, you know, or
call it deep cuts.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm talking about whole LPs though, because everybody talks about the first four or five.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then Tommy left for a while, and then this was that, and then the other.
Yeah.
Then,
yeah.
You know, but I mean, are there ones in there you're like, hey man, Woke Up With a Monster is a great friggin' record. Nobody heard that.
Yeah. I love that record. I like that Red Ant record too in '97.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
That one's cool. One of my favorite records we've done that nobody's really heard.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You know, when we're dead and gone, maybe they'll discover some of that old stuff.
I think they're CDs, or maybe they're just on Spotify, but in their whole like outtake series, like an archive from Epic Vaults, is that authorized stuff? I don't know.
That probably comes from Bunny. He released a whole slew of stuff like outtakes and demos and stuff online.
You guys are cool with that. I mean, it's like that.
What are you going to do?
Well, yeah, fair enough.
You know, sue them. You can't get blood out of a turnip, you know? It's like.
I'm not going there this time.
Okay.
We're not doing that. I did read that you had made a second solo album that sort of didn't happen. What's the story there, man?
Well, you know, I think it's a good album. The story about it was that I had this idea that this is right about the time. Let's see. I just love the Gong Show.
Okay.
I thought, after all these years have gone by, why not do a Gong Show about country music? In other words, the premise being you don't have to have a twang in your voice in order to write and sing country songs.
Are you pulling my leg here?
This is true.
Is this for real?
Yeah. Okay. So I thought to myself, I actually wrote a whole, I could send it to you. I wrote this whole script for it. So anyway, I figured, you know, after that idea and I'd written the script and I'd send it around to people, that nobody was interested in that. So I decided to do an album. Mm-hmm. And I called it Countryside Boulevard, which is where my first kid was born.
Up in Clearwater, yeah.
Yeah, in Clearwater.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a great cover for it and everything, and I gave it to the record company here in town, Big Three.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they liked it. They thought it was good, you know, and everything, but I guess they put it out for about a week, and then for some reason the record company got squeamish about spending money for promotion and stuff, and they pulled it. The thing is the record's a good record. I don't care what they say. I mean,
I won't hear it.
It's not a joke record.
When you say the Gong Show in country music, right away I'm like looking to jump out the window, like what?
I know.
I believe you. I want to hear it. Well, so maybe one day.
Another thing that happened was that they decided the cover that I wanted was not good enough or sellable enough in Target or Walmart or whatever they were going to sell it, wherever they were going to sell it. So they decided to do a different cover, which was me on the back of a pickup truck with a dog and a cowboy hat on, you know, and really going for it like that. So
I'm just not, I can't picture it.
If you go online, you can find the cover somewhere. They have it online.
You've got some, you said in April, I went to the website, there are some Cheap Trick dates in the UK. Is that what you're talking about? Like that's, if all goes well, that'll be the next things.
Yeah, there's a week, week and a half or something there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will be the, well, January we have a few dates too somewhere.
Oh.
I don't even know where.
Do you sometimes not know where you are? I mean,
sometimes, but I can always look it up, you know. Listen, a lot of people get asked that question that are in rock bands. You ever forget where you're at? Of course you do. Yeah. You know, I've one time, the most embarrassing moment of me was Dream Police tour in Dallas, saying hello, Fort Worth.
That really happens.
Did not go over too well. You know, there you go.
Did you guys ever do The Simpsons?
No, but we were on there. We didn't do our voices on there.
Oh, somebody else did.
Yeah, our images were on there, I guess.
That's like a badge of honor, I guess.
It was, yeah. In fact, the guys that do the illustrations for that came to our show in Hollywood one night, and they drew all of us in the Simpsons motif.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got to look that up. That's
so
very
cool. Yeah, it's so cool.
Okay, my last question. It's the only one that's still on my piece of paper here. I just read that Mr. McCartney has a new record coming out, right?
Yeah.
McCartney 3. He's playing and singing everything. You know, now, I love the man dearly, as we all do, but he's pushing 80.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, he doesn't sing so great anymore. But I mean, Paul McCartney, I love him. I mean, no judgment. And I'm thinking about like Jagger and Richards and all these guys. And I mean, is there like a sell by date for rock and roll guys? And do you think about that? How long do you feel you can go?
Well,
I mean, you're not as old as those cats. I'm just saying.
Not much longer. I'm not going to be those guys, but. Mm-hmm. If I feel like I can't sing anymore, then that's the time, you know? And I know what you mean about Paul, and I love him to death too. And I saw his last show right here in Tampa.
Yeah. But it's hard. It's become shtick, you know? And, it's still him. I mean, it's great shtick, but that's what he's doing. You know, he's kind of, he can't sing anymore. You know,
But I think live something like that works well with the fans if he would just spend more time just showing the history of what they've done over the years and maybe not rely on his live performance so much as maybe showing more video of what rare things and talk about his relationship with the other guys in the band a little more, you know, and do that sort of thing. I think there's room for that because people want to know, and hearing it out from the horse's mouth, so to speak, you know, is entertaining.
To that end, how come no one's done a Cheap Trick documentary yet? There's some great footage there, man.
There's so many closets that don't need to be opened. You know, I don't know. You know, we. There's certain things like we can't even go into Sweden anymore, stuff like that.
Oh, really? Are you banned for life?
I'm not going to expound upon, but
banned for life from Sweden. How interesting!
Yeah, pretty much.
You're still welcome in Japan, though, right? That's a good way to end. Is it still the same in Japan? I mean, do they still, you know,
they still come to see us? Yeah, it's not quite as big. But it's just as enthusiastic, and we love those people there for giving us a shake in this world, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I was watching the Dan Rather interview that the three of you did.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about the Kiss and Queen had cartoon characters, and we were kind of walking, talking cartoon characters.
Yeah, we were. Dan Rather, how about that guy? Oh my God!
Yeah,
I was so nervous.
Talk about a sell-by date. I'm sorry.
Oh my God!
Hey, Robin, listen, we're done. You and your son have these acoustic shows coming up. this weekend.
Yeah, come and see us, everybody out there. You know, they're sold out, but you know, it's going to be a lot of fun for us to get back out there and yeah. sing and play. We're doing a lot of different songs out there, and you know, it's going to be safe. And I want everybody out there that's listening to this, stay safe. Do what you need to do to stay safe. That's all.
It's beautiful, my friend. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you.
See you soon, man.
So long.
From stpcatalyst.com.